Good morning, church. Heather's going to be handing out some information to you about our missionaries. Don't you love missionary stories? Since I was a kid, my dad was a pastor. He would have missionaries speak in the church. They would stay in our home, and I got to hear a lot of stories that they told. No wonder I began to have a desire to be a missionary. I want to thank Mike and Jenny Reed for all of their work in setting things up this morning. We had met together and agreed that we wanted people to walk through the door and feel like they're in another world or another place, as if you were actually on the mission field. Imagine that. And maybe we're doing that with a purpose because we're trying to get people to change the way they think. Don't think about missions being somewhere else. Think about missions being here, there, and everywhere. Now, some of you who have had the opportunity to travel abroad, it's not uncommon to be in a church that has no walls, no windows, no doors, and right during the service, the chickens go right through, or the pigs. And you can hear all kinds of animal noises going on. And that's not people making animal noises. Kevin, would you do your rooster call for us? Oh, shucks. Last year at the Missions Festival, we had a rooster here. And every time I made a good point, the rooster would crow. I loved that rooster, but I think somebody ate him. So, oh, he's alive. Oh, okay. I didn't remember whose rooster it was. You know, sometimes I would preach in churches and the chickens would be all over the place, and then the next day we would have a meal, and I wonder which chicken member it was that got cooked for the meal. On one occasion in Mexico, I was leading worship under a brush arbor. You know what a brush arbor is? It's where they build a little roof out of palm fronds. It was at night, and I'm playing my guitar when I felt something tap me on the shoulder. And I looked around to see what it was, and I noticed there was something on my shoulder. It'd be on this side. It was chicken poop. The chickens were roosting above my head, and a chicken dropped on me. So chickens in the church are okay. Some places, that would be normal. Well, this morning, I want to speak to you from the Word of God and also concerning our missionaries. And the title this morning is, I Am a Missionary. Would you say that with me? I am a missionary. So when I'm talking about missionaries, I'm talking about all of us. And being a missionary means I'm living on mission. I'm living as a sent one. And we have to change the way we think because we tend to compartmentalize everything. I'm a Christian. I go to church on Sunday. What do you do the rest of the week? Are you living on mission? Are you a missionary? Are you recognizing that God has sent you? So let's start off with a definition of a missionary. A missionary is someone who sacrifices everything but the gospel for the sake of the gospel. That's a really good definition. Someone who sacrifices everything but the gospel. We don't sacrifice the gospel for the sake of the gospel. So who are the missionaries? Thank you. Either you respond or the chickens will. Now, John Bronson recommended that we turn the animals loose at some point during the service, and I'm threatening you. Either you get into this message or we're going to turn them loose. So who did Jesus send on his mission? John 20, 21, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Who was that directed to? Very good. Who was given the Great Commission? It's found in Matthew 28 and verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Who was that given to? The goat. No, it was given to us. 1 Corinthians 11:1, written by Paul the Apostle, one of the greatest missionaries of all time. He said, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Now, I have a question for you. What things was Paul encouraging us to imitate? Isn't that a good question? Imitate me, Paul said, as I imitate Christ. What specifically was he talking about? Prayer? Worship? Study of the Word of God? I believe all of those things. But to really figure it out, we have to read the context. Now, you do know that when Scripture was written, there were no chapters and verses. That was added later. So when you read the rest of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it talks about a man and his wife. And the husband is the head of his wife. And it's like, wait a minute, Paul wasn't married. So he wasn't talking about imitating him in that, because then you would have been a bachelor. So then you have to back up and say, well, it must have been the preceding verse that came before it, which actually ends up being verse 33 of chapter 10. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. And I believe that's what Paul was talking about, to imitate him in this, not to please yourself, not to live for yourself, but to do everything to please others. Now, when he says to please others, he's not talking about just making them happy. He's talking about setting the stage for sharing the gospel and winning them to Christ. Imitate Paul in this. We're all called to be missionaries. If I follow Paul's example, would you say it with me? I am a missionary. Now, Paul had some young men that worked with him in ministry. And one of them was a man by the name of Timothy. He had been sent out from his church to work with Paul in their missionary outreach. And Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. All of those things. And so what we find is God continues to call and send people out as he did Paul, as he did Timothy. And they're not only called to do the work of God and to spread the gospel and to minister to the poor, but there's something more, to be an example to others. Now, here's where I'm trying to do a shift in our thinking. Do we just think of our missionaries as those special people who've been called of God and sent abroad to do the work of the Lord in very difficult places, which they have? But do we also look at them and say, God has called them to be an example to all of us? There are things in their lives, characters that we need to be following and exemplifying. We should appreciate, pray for, and support our missionaries who have given their lives to reach others. Now, there's different ways to support missionaries. We can pray for them. Is that correct? We can financially give. There's different ways that people give. Some people just give to the local church and expect the church will take a percentage of that and give it to missionaries that are serving in other places. Or there is also what is called a faith pledge. The Bible talks about tithes and offerings. My thought is tithes goes to support local ministry. And you know what offerings are for? To support all of the ministries that go out into all of the world. And some might still be struggling with tithing. You know, we do need to tithe, and we also need to learn how to give offerings. Because when you give offerings, you're investing of yourself into whatever that project or whatever that mission is. You become connected with it. So we need to appreciate, pray for, and support the missionaries that God has sent out, and we're a part with them. They are like extended staff of our church that are working in other places. We don't forget about them. But there is something more. We should also see them as setting an example for others to follow. Say it with me. I'm a missionary too. So I get to tell you some missionary stories this morning. And I thought and I thought who I might begin with. Rebecca Randall. And Rebecca, you are a missionary. You're not overseas, but you were right in the community. And you had an distinguished career in the Air Force. And you oversaw a lot of people and a lot of men. And you didn't like women that much. And you never pictured yourself working with women. And guess what God called you to work with women. And to work with women who have great needs in their life. And you don't have to be around Rebecca very long until there's something that you really find out. She will cry at the drop of a hat. And for a military officer, Rebecca, I'm not quite certain, other than that has to be the Lord in you. And so the character quality that I put, that we need to follow your example in, is great compassion. And there's a scripture that came to my mind, and I thought about a lot of them, but it's about the woman who washed Jesus' feet. And she washed his feet with the tears, and wiped his feet with the hair of his head. And Rebecca, every time you serve the women, you know who you're really serving? You know whose feet you're really washing with those tears, Rebecca? That's such a good example for us to follow. I'm not here every service because I have other commitments, but the services I've been here when there is a baptism and new professions of faith, it seems like the largest number come through the Ruth House. And Rebecca, I love seeing you up there baptizing the ladies. It is awesome. Thank you for being a good example to us in this. Amen. Luis and Mayra Fuentes. Originally from Colombia and Venezuela, they spent some time in Puerto Rico, and then God brought them here to the United States. And there are real challenges, learning another culture, learning another language. And so I put as a character quality for Luis and Maida, living as strangers in another place, in another land, and with another people. Because that's what a missionary does. We extend ourselves to other people who speak different languages, who think differently, who dress differently, who act differently, but that's the call of going into all of the world. And the scripture I chose is, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. How many strangers do we have here? The Bible says we are strangers and sojourners in the world. Isn't that true? For by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Now, I kept rolling this in my head and thought, am I telling you that Luis and Maida are angels? You might be saying, I'm not so certain about that. But you have to remember that word angels means messengers. That God would choose people from another culture, another language. He would call them and send them to a people where they can't even speak, they can't even communicate, they have to learn, and use them as messengers to speak into that people's life. They are messengers, and you and I are also called to be messengers to others. Kim Holmes. Kim is in Pucallpa, Peru. It's the headwaters of the Amazon River. There are no roads to Pucallpa. You either come by boat or you fly in by airplane. And then all down the river, there are little villages of Indian people, especially a tribe called the Shipibo Indians. And the Indians live with great needs and great poverty. Many of them do not have good drinking water. They have all kinds of health issues. The last time I was in Pucallpa, there was flooding. The river had overflown, and people were just standing in water. Their homes were underwater. It was really, really difficult. And so I thought, what would be the character quality that I would talk about, Kim? And I would say, risking all to minister to the poor. You don't have to be around Kim very long to find out she has a great compassion for the poor. She's been willing to lay down everything in her life to go and live on the edge of a jungle and travel up and down a river to minister to the Shipibo Indians. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, all they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I had been eager to do all along. This was Paul talking about his meetings with Peter and John. And in his missionary work, he was encouraged to remember the poor, which he said he had done. Church, we cannot afford to neglect the care of the poor who are around about us. And Kim is such a good example of that. And then a second quality I put there was risk. Risk. Paul wrote, and he said, I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. There is a story about Kim and some of her team traveling the river when they were attacked by pirates on the river. There were shots fired. The pastor that was with Kim was shot in the leg. Kim, actually, a bullet hit her backpack and didn't go through because of whatever she had in the backpack. Do you know, 2 weeks later, Kim was back on the river again, going out again. And Ann, when you tell that story, I can tell. Oh, my goodness. That must have been so difficult for you being here, knowing she was on that river, taking risks to minister to those that are in need. Say it with me. I am a missionary. And that's an example, not just for a few chosen people to follow. Would you agree with me? It's an example for every one of us. Amen. Pastor Luke St. Felix. Mom and Dad have worked with Pastor Luke for over 30 years. At age 21, he had planted 3 churches. And he always had a heart for people that were up in the mountains that would not hear the gospel unless someone came to preach and to start a church for them. Pastor Luke has started over 70 churches now in Haiti. Those churches have feeding programs. Those churches have schools. Those churches have wells where they provide water for the people of the community. It's amazing. Haiti is the poorest country of the Western Hemisphere. But there's something you find out when you're around Pastor Luke. He always talks about faith. I love the way he says it with his French accent. You have to have faith in God. Every time he comes to the church here over the years, he always preaches a message on faith and on believing God. Pastor Luke has some amazing stories of how God has provided and protected him. There was an earthquake in Haiti, as many of you know. Luke was in his truck driving downtown when the ground began to shake down near the marketplace, and a huge concrete balcony fell off of this building. It barely touched the front of his truck. People were dead. He couldn't see because of the dust. He thought he was dead. And finally, he was able to get out of the crowd and realize God had spared his life. His wife was at home washing clothes when she said she heard the Lord say to her, get out of the house. She went outside, and when she went outside, the house next door fell right into the wash area where she had been washing her clothes. Her son, Micah, Pastor Luke's son, he was at school when the Lord told him, get out of your class. He went out of the class when the earthquake hit. A lot of his classmates died. Pastor Luke is a man of faith. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jose and Ivana Roman. How many of you know where Jose and Ivana are? They are in China. Now, I would like to tell you a brief story about Jose. Jose was a brand new Christian. He's Puerto Rican by birth, but he grew up in New York, so he's bilingual. He had just accepted Christ. He was a part of another church south of us, and there was a real bad situation that evolved in the church, and they put Jose out, told him to leave. He was a brand new believer. We prayed. I spoke with Vic Irizarry, who is one of the leaders of our Spanish church here. And I said, Vic, would you be willing to take Jose under your wing and mentor him? Jose came and was a part of the church here for a couple of years. He was so quiet. He never talked. You would have never thought God had a call on this man's life to be a missionary to China. The one thing we saw about him was he loved to worship. He lived with a man who was handicapped and took care of him. A few years later, we took him to Costa Rica on a short-term mission trip. He decided to stay. And then he went through a missionary training school. And in this missionary training school, they began to prepare him to go and preach the gospel to unreached people. So the concept I want to give you is reaching the unreached. You see, a missionary is one that always has a heart to go somewhere and share the gospel with someone who hasn't had the opportunity to hear it. How many of you have heard the term unreached peoples? Unreached peoples. You say, I've got a neighbor that's unreached. Well, it could be that your neighbor has not accepted Christ, but unreached means where there is no Christian witness. There is no church. There is no Christian in the community, where people have no contact with any Christian message at all. There is no program on TV. There is no Christian radio station. I have a good missionary friend in the Dominican Republic, and he always says there are reasons that unreached people are unreached. Now you think about what I just said for a minute. There are reasons why unreached people are unreached. You know, whenever we receive emails from Jose and Ivana, they use code words in their emails. Oh, today, we had the opportunity to introduce someone to our family and tell them all about our wonderful Father. I wonder what they're talking about. I have made it my aim to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another's foundation. How many of you have a burning in your heart to share the gospel with those that have never heard the gospel? Can I see your hands? You are a missionary. Tiffany Taves. And the quality I want to point out in Tiffany is rising above. I was going to put loss, and Kim, my wife, said put extreme loss. Rising above extreme loss. Frank and Tiffany became a part of the church here quite a few years ago. They were still in Bible school. They felt a very strong call to become missionaries. Frank went through a pilot training program at Wheaton College, and so he became a missionary pilot. Years later, they were invited to work with African Inland Mission. They were based in Nairobi, Kenya. And Frank would fly missions from Nairobi into Somalia and Sudan. And if you know anything about that part of Africa, that's a very dangerous area. He would fly in to assist and to help missionaries that were working in those countries. I can remember the Sunday that we prayed over them and we were getting ready to send them out. They have the most beautiful family. At that time, they had, was it three or four little girls? Three little girls. And these little girls are just beautiful. They're eloquent. And as we're praying for them, I am feeling such a burden on my heart. I'm looking at these little girls and I'm just saying, God, don't let anything happen here. God, don't let anything happen. Knowing the risk that Frank was going to be taking. They served in Kenya for, I don't remember how many years. Frank flew many missions out of Somalia and Sudan. And a team had come down from the United States to film one of the large slums there in Nairobi. Frank and his mechanic, also with African Inland Mission, was in the front seat. Frank was flying the plane. They were flying low altitude, slow speeds over the slums so that the photographers could do their videotaping. When the engine lost power, the plane went down. It killed Frank instantly. His friend, the mechanic, was severely burned and died sometime later, which left Tiffany, his wife, their little girls, and a little African boy they had adopted. Now, I need to tell you a little bit more about Tiffany. Tiffany, from a little girl, she's from Umatilla, had felt a call to be a missionary. But as she got older, she began to struggle with depression. Now, this was while Frank was alive. Tiffany would go into terrible, terrible depressions, not even able to take care of herself or take care of her children. And so after Frank passed away, Tiffany came back to the States with her little girls and their little adopted African boy. My wife and I met with her numerous times, talked with her, prayed with her, saw her really working to overcome the depression. And guess what's happened? God has healed Tiffany and raised her back up again, and she and her children are now in Uganda fulfilling their missionary calling. And listen to what Paul the Apostle said. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. You know, I feel like we all ought to read this verse out loud. And right now I'm kind of trying to compose myself because I am so amazed how God raised Tiffany up to go on and fulfill the call of God on her life. Would you read this out loud with me? We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. There's so many different things that we need to practice in our lives. Would you agree? There are so many different things I could have talked about, but boy, these are powerful. Great compassion. And who sets that example for us? I just started talking about it and she started crying. I knew that was coming, Rebecca. I just mentioned your name and you start crying. Living as strangers. And who was the example of living as strangers in another land? Risking all to minister to the poor. Faith. Reaching the unreached. And rising above all loss. There was a little lady that went to a women's prayer meeting. She'd just gotten saved and all the ladies were praying, Lord, you got to burn the bar down. Because all their husbands were at the bar drinking. Lord, burn the bar down. The next night, they had the prayer meeting, and the bar had burned down. And all the ladies are praising the Lord, other than the one little lady that had kept so quiet, was keeping so quiet, the new lady. Finally, they asked her, why are you so quiet? She said, well, sometimes you got to put feet on your prayers. I sure would like to see all of us put feet on this message. I really don't want to just stir your emotions today and say, oh, didn't Pastor Buddy preach a great missionary sermon? That's not the goal. The goal is to activate, to inspire, and to get all of the church involved in fulfilling the Great Commission and this call of God that is on our lives to live as sent ones. Sometimes we don't know how to do it. We're going to be doing some classes on Monday nights. You're going to hear more about it. You ought to be a part of it. We're going to be talking about how you can be a missionary in your community, how you can serve God in a practical way. In just a few minutes, Pastor Scott is going to come up, and he's going to challenge you with the mission pledge. And that's why we put off the offering until the very end, because we want to challenge you in your giving for local ministry and giving towards ministry around the world. But before that, we have a video that I want you to see. And God bless you. Amen.
In the beginning, God created man in his own image. He walked with man in the cool of Eden, but sin interrupted that union. So God created the missionary. God said, I need someone willing to say no to the status quo, no to the dream of wealth, leave their families to fly to a distant land, and learn a language they have never heard, ride in cramped buses on backs of camels, someone who would sleep anywhere, eat anything, bear the heat, and fight the freeze with a smile on their face, just to take the gospel to a people not their own. So God created the missionary. God said, because the harvest is plentiful, I need someone ready to sow the seed, to plow the ground, water the seed, and reap the harvest which is ripe. Someone to go and train, to multiply the crops, and to answer the call and pay the price. So God created the missionary. God said, I need someone who is a radical servant of all, taking the lowliest job, washing the feet of the poor, caring for the sick, and cleaning their wounds. I need someone to visit the prisoner, care for the widow and the orphan, to sit in the dust with a child and tell them that they are loved. So God made a missionary. God said he needed someone who would believe that blind eyes could see and lame feet could walk and that the dead could live again. Someone who would pray long hours and intercede through the night with wordless groans of petition so that one soul might be saved. God said, I need someone honest and brave, full of grace, mercy, and compassion, free from fear and passivity, walking in true identity. Someone burning with love and girded with truth. Someone who radiantly reflects God's glory. So God made a missionary. God said, I need someone who would say yes before they were asked. Someone who would go to distant islands, barren deserts, inner cities, closed nations, next door neighbors, and prestigious universities to reach the unreached. Who would hike any mountain and endure any obstacle? Because how will they believe in him of whom they have never heard? How will they hear unless someone preaches? And how will they preach unless they are sent? So God made the missionary.
Yes.